Good morning. I have to say I'm so glad to be with you all. These two guys get to come every Sunday. And me, I get to just come once in a while, and I always enjoy it. I walk through the door, and all the smiling faces, and you have coffee right there. See, us Pentecostals don't believe in drinking coffee. So I got to load up when I come to your church. Keep on talking. But it's always a special place in my heart for coming to share with you. I'm not that far away, but I don't get a chance. We're involved a lot in our church, and don't get a chance to come be with you. But I'm glad to be here, and I know these guys enjoy being part of this church. And we enjoy singing for the Lord together. Amen. We appreciate the ministry. Amen. You ready? Thank you, Pastor, for allowing us to come. You've been walking the same old road for miles and miles. You've been hearing the same old voice tell the same old lies. If you're trying to fill the empty holes inside, there's a better life. There's a better life. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison-shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain-breaker. We've all searched for the light of day in the dead of night. We've all found ourselves worn out from the same old fight. We've all run to things we know just ain't right. But there's a better life. Ooh, there's a better life. If you've got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison-shaking Savior. You got chains, He's a chain-breaker. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify, testify. If you believe it, if you receive it, if you can feel it, somebody testify. If you got pain, He's a pain taker. If you feel lost, He's a way maker. And if you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. If you've got pains, He's a chain breaker. If you need freedom or saving, He's a prison shaking Savior. If you've got chains, He's a chain breaker.
Wow, and good morning in the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected King. I invite you to take God's holy word and turn with me halfway in the New Testament, a little bit more than halfway in the New Testament, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, please. By the way, guys, 316 Crossroads, thank you for that wonderful display of Christ-honoring music. Anybody can preach behind that, Bob. Huh? Wow, that was wonderful. The book of Hebrews, friends, is often overlooked, and it shouldn't be. There's always a debate, who wrote the book of Hebrews? Well, we know who wrote the book of Hebrews. It wasn't Paul, it wasn't Barnabas, it wasn't Silas, It was the Holy Spirit of the living God. God wrote the book. Now, somebody else penned this. We don't know who the author is, but we certainly know who the audience is. The audience was Jesus-believing Jews who were losing their focus. Watch this. They were losing their focus, and they're falling away from their faith. What an appropriate message for us today is taken from the book of Hebrews, as we have adopted as our theme here in 2020 to have perfect vision from God. 2020 vision, perfect vision from God by focusing on the most important things God has given us, starting with Jesus, His beloved Son. And friends, that's probably what was on display here in the book of Hebrews more than anything else. The book of Hebrews really is a letter of spiritual apologetics, if you will. It's about the superiority of Christ. Well, let me say it again. It's about the superiority of Christ plus or minus nothing over a religion. The book of Hebrews is about Jesus, focusing on Jesus. Now, this is about 30, 35 years after Jesus rose from the grave. And at this time, people are starting to wander and fall away from their faith. Sounds much like today, doesn't it? Here in America, as well as around the world. How at one time people were excited about Jesus. And now we just kind of go through the motions. Folks, Jesus is alive and well. Can I get a witness? Amen. Yes. We should be focused on Jesus Christ. Yes. Plus or minus no one else. It's not about our church, our preference. It's about Jesus and His church and us following Him and being a purpose-driven church. By the way, if you have your Bible, would you please raise it right now? I want to see some Bibles here in God's house. Thank you so much. Thank you. Put them down. Let me encourage you to use a pew Bible if you do not have a Bible of your own, or allow this church to help you buy, purchase your own Bible so you can spend time with God in His holy word. You need to get a good Bible. Let me tell you and our radio listening audience, let me encourage everybody. This is one of the ways God speaks today. He speaks through His holy word, through His scriptures. He speaks through His Holy Spirit. He speaks through His holy servants. That doesn't mean I'm holier than anyone else, but separator unto a good work is what that word holy means. We need to get a good Bible. Now, I was in a motorcycle shop one time, and I was in the market for a new helmet. I enjoyed the outdoors, just everything the outdoors has to offer. And this time, we had a motorcycle ministry, and my old helmet really wasn't up to par. So I said, honey, I'm going to go buy a new helmet. And I went into the motorcycle store there, and they had all the leather, all the boots, all the body armor, this and that. But they had a big sign on the wall, Joe Bennett, said this: if you have a $5 head, then buy a $5 helmet. Amen? And I looked at the helmets, you know, they ran anywhere from $35 to $350. And I looked in the mirror, I thought, well, I wonder how much my head is worth. So I called Donna and said, honey, I said, I was going to buy a cheap helmet, but I got good news for you. I think my head is worth more than that, amen? So I got me a good helmet in the event I needed it. Now watch this. You and I need a good Bible, a good study Bible. I'm not going to sit here and argue and debate over translations or who the publisher is, whether it be Moody or Tyndale or Thomas Nelson, whoever it is. Let us help you find a good study Bible so you and I can understand the Word of God. We don't have to be Greek and Hebrew scholars today. God spoke through a Koine Greek. You know what that means? I remember my Greek professor saying, listen to me, gentlemen, the Koine Greek was an easy to understand language. That's what it means, the Koine Greek. It's easy to understand. So here in the book of Hebrews, we're going to understand seven things. Watch this now. Seven things that God can't do in 2020. We're going to focus on these. Seven things that God can't do. Pastor Dallas, you realize you're being recorded? I do. You realize this is going across the airwaves, the radio listening audience, and those who watch and listen by your website? I do. How can you say then, your omnipotent God, your all-powerful God, can't do certain things? Well, I get it from the Word of God. This is supposed to be a positive message here in 2020. We want to see the fullness of God, not a candy-coated God, but what Andy prayed about earlier, God with skin, a God that really believes what you and I are studying here today, a resurrected King, and you and I can be believers in this. So I'm going to be giving you seven things here, seven things that God cannot do. Now, if you were with us last week, you saw the first one. Write this down, please, in your sermon notes section. your sermon notes section, you want to write this down, that God cannot and will not overlook sin. That's number one. Oh, I see where you're going with this, Pastor Dallas. There's some things God can't do. That's right. He can't overlook sin. Last week, we spent time in Psalm 51. This was the sin of David. More than a year had elapsed. David had an adulterous affair with Bathsheba, a married woman. This thing progressed into murder, lying, and more. And we learn, watch this, the progression of sin. God can't overlook this. The progression of sin in David's day, in our day, in your life, my life, is this. David looked outside of his window. He didn't only look, he lingered. It started to manifest. That's sin. The devil got in his heart and his mind saying, you should be on the battlefield. You know you're a married man. You shouldn't be doing this. But he looked, he lingered, and then it progressed into a lust. And then he acted on that lust. Friends, God wants to answer our prayers. He wants to hear from us in the year 2020. But he says, I cannot and will not, I can't overlook sin. So we learned from the Holy Scriptures last week, Psalm 66, verse 18, for example. God said, if you regard iniquity in your heart, if you and I, you and me, pastor included, the chief among sinners, we have to confess our sins to God often. Well, how often? How often do you sin? I try to do it on a daily basis. I'll be honest. If I confess my sins, the Bible says in 1 John, He will be faithful and just to forgive me for my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. How would you like to have your prayers answered in 2020? Every hand should be going up. Yes! But if you and I have not purged ourselves from our sins, and we're in the world and of this world as supposedly Christ-honoring believers, God says, I can't hear you. There's something blocking. Your prayers are getting no higher than the ceiling because you are regarding iniquity in your heart. So we found from the 51st Psalm that David said, against you I have sinned. He pleaded his case. He posted his sins. He purged himself from all unrighteousness. And God says, now I will restore my joy, my relationship with you. You know why so many people are depressed today? I don't mind telling you as a counselor. It's not medications, it's not anxiety, it's not the stress of the world, because they have never truly confessed their sins and purged themselves. Said, now God, now you can see me as you created me. We're carrying all that baggage around from previous years. God says, I want to bless you. Please allow me to bless you. I think back to Dr. Billy Graham, who said many years ago, this may be my favorite Billy Graham quote ever. He said, if God doesn't judge America for its open defiance of Scripture, for its unconfessed sins, he said he will have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Ouch. Well, Pastor, this isn't very positive. It should be positive. We serve a God who can't do certain things. I don't want to serve a God who overlooks sin. I don't want to serve a God who slumbers and sleeps. I want to serve a holy and a righteous God. How about you? Amen. He said, I'm holy, therefore be ye holy. So here in the book of Hebrews, they were starting to fall away from their faith. So folks, I'm going to give you seven things that God can't do. He cannot and will not do in the year 2020. No. Beginning in verse number one, the second thing we'll learn down here is God can't be silenced. Write that down, please. What do you mean? Notice in chapter 1 of Hebrews, verse number 1 and 2 alone, God, who at sundry times, at various times, in a variety of manners, diverse manners, He spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. Now, this is Old Testament. Everybody believes this. They had the Torah, the first five books of Moses. These Jews, even the Messianic Jews are those who believe in Jesus Christ. They worship the law. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. As God inspired Moses to pen these down here for your enjoyment as well as theirs back in this day. Well, in days of old, in the Old Testament, God spoke. Sure He did. Is Moses the only person God spoke to? Of course not. He talked with Adam in the garden. He talked to Abraham in the desert. He talked to Moses at a very dire time in his life. Let me ask you something. When's the last time you heard from God? Seriously. I don't know if I've ever heard from God. But what have we already learned here today? How does God speak? He speaks through His scriptures. That's why you need to get you a good Bible. He speaks through His servants. Thank you for paying attention. Follow along in your worship guide there. Fill in these blanks. Take this home. This is some little homiletical masterpiece to tickle intellects. This is from the Word of God. God wants to move on us. He spoke in the Old Testament, but as well, look in verse number 2, He spoke today in the New Testament. This is through His Son, Jesus Christ. He has in these last days spoken unto us by His Son, whom He appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. Think about that. God can't overlook sin, but God also can't be silenced. Aren't you glad when you can't sleep in the middle of the night? Rather than counting sheep, you can talk to God. This may sound strange to you, but I had a dear, sweet woman in our church many years ago tell me this. Pastor, you deal with anybody with depression, discouragement? I said, Miss Jane, of course I do. She said, you know what works for me, honey? She said, I don't count sheep, I count my blessings. Try that. It works. It works. I start talking to God, just praising God, rather than complaining about my life and everything's going on. I said, God, let me praise you. Let me start in the book of Genesis and work my way through. And I usually get about halfway through the major prophets. The next thing I know, I wake up and it's morning. It works for me. Jeremiah 33:3, write that down someplace. Call unto me, God said, and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things for 2020 you can't even imagine. Aren't you glad the hotline to heaven is never busy? Aren't you glad God doesn't have a voicemail? Sister D gave me this voicemail. I got to read this to you. This is too funny, she said, not to share. Many of us have learned to live our lives with voicemail as a necessity. Have you ever wondered what it would be like if God decided to install voicemail in heaven? Imagine praying and hearing the following. Hello, and thank you for calling. This is God. For English, press 1. For Spanish, press 2. Greek and Hebrew, press 3. All other languages, press 4. Now, please select one of the following options. For a prayer request, press 1. For Thanksgiving, press 2. For your complaints, press 3. And for all others, press 4. I'm sorry to report at this time, all of our angels and the Holy Son and the saints are busy with other sinners right now. However, your prayer is important to us, and we will answer it, watch this, in the order it was received. Aren't you glad that doesn't happen? So please stay on the line. Now, if you'd like to speak to God, press 1. Jesus, press 2. And of course, the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, please press 3. Now, to find a loved one that's been assigned to heaven, press 5. But you must first enter a social security number followed by the pound sign, hashtag, forward fast. If you receive a negative response, please hang up and dial the area code 666. For reservations in heaven, you need to enter John, J-O-H-N, followed by these numbers, 316. Isn't that good, guys? For answers to nagging questions about dinosaurs and life and planets, all those other things, please wait until you arrive in heaven and I'll explain it all to you at that time. By the way, our computers show that you've already been prayed for today, so please hang up and call again tomorrow because there's other people that are waiting. As a matter of fact, you spent too much time on the phone. My office is now closed for the weekend to observe a religious holiday. So if you're calling now on this Sunday and need an emergency assistance, please contact your pastor. He only works one day a week anyways. Amen? Aren't you glad you and I, when we need to talk to God, we can just bow our heads and close our eyes? It helps me to concentrate, say, God, I thank you, you never slumber nor sleep. I thank you, God, you still speak. I thank you, you're a God who isn't silenced. I thank you, watch this, a third one, you're a God who can't be overruled. We're still in the book of Hebrews. Friends, we could spend an entire year in the book of Hebrews. Here in the book of Hebrews, not only to the Jews, but to all the believers of Jesus Christ, we found out that God can't be silenced in verse 1, 2, and 3. But notice here in verses 4, 5, and 6, he can't be overruled. He's not going to share his majesty with anyone else. I'm thrilled with this. That Jesus, talking about who sat down, look at me in verse number 3, the backside of verse number 3, Jesus, after he purged our sins there at Calvary, he sat down the right hand of God, the majesty on high. And notice how he was made so much better than the angels in verse 4. Do you see that? Jesus is higher than you. He can't be overruled. Of course not. It says in verse number 5, for unto which of the angels did he say at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten you? And again, I will be to him as a father. He shall be to me as a son. He said, no. Jesus is my son, not the angels. Don't worship angels. We can find this in verse number 6. And again, when he brings forth the first begotten into the world, he said, and let all the angels of God worship him, being Jesus, not the angels. Friends, I'm thrilled that our God doesn't slumber nor sleep. I'm thrilled there are some things God can't do. He can't overlook sin. He can't be silenced. I'm thrilled that the book of Isaiah says this. Let me give you right down a couple of verses pertaining to the third thing we learned down here. God can't be overruled. Write down Isaiah 42, verse number 8. Here's what the Holy Word of God says. I am the Lord. That is my name. And my glory I will not give to another, neither my praise to any graven image. Our God is a jealous God. He said, no one's greater than me. And that should thrill you and I as followers of God, the Father, God, the Son, God, the Holy Spirit, three in one. Write down Isaiah 43, verse number 11. 43:11. Here's what the Word of God says again through the major prophet Isaiah. I am the Lord. And beside me, there is no other Savior. How many of you know that the earthly name for Jesus means Savior? Huh? Salvation, a rescuer. Let's look back at our notes. The title for today may shock you. Some things God can't do. Seven things. Follow along with me. What's number one? God can't overlook what? He can't overlook sin. I'm begging you and myself every day to purge ourselves. Say, God, we don't want to come to you with dirty garments, with filthy hands. Cleanse us. Now hear from us and then use us. What we learn down the second thing God can't be silenced. The second thing, God can't overlook sin. God can't be silenced. The book of Hebrews also said God can't be overruled. And this fourth one down here should really thrill us. God can't die. Don't you love this? God can't die. It begins to describe in verse number 7 down to verse number 11. Let me read. The angel said, who makes the angel spirits and the minister a flame of fire? But unto his son, in verse number 8, he said, your throne, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever a scepter of righteousness and the scepter of thy kingdom. For thou hast loved righteousness. You've hated sin. You've hated iniquity, in verse number 9. Therefore, before God, yes, your God, has he appointed you with the oil of gladness? I love what Bob said earlier about the smiles on our faces around here. Above the fellows, people around us. Oh Lord, in verse number 10, thou, Lord, in the beginning you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. Now they're going to perish. In verse number 11, this world's going to perish. It's all going to pass away. But thou, you will remain forever. Wow, don't you find comfort in that? God cannot die. Wait a minute, Pastor Dallas. What about Easter? What about Easter? Didn't he die on the cross? He certainly did. But how many of you know he didn't stay dead? Yes. Praise his holy name. Up from the grave he arose. Don't you love that song? Jeff often wonder, why don't we just sing Easter songs all the time and Christmas songs all the time? Low in the grave he lay, but up from the grave he arose. We love to sing that down at the river on Resurrection Sunday. But folks, every day is Resurrection Sunday. Because we serve not a dead God, but a living God. That's another great time for you people to shout, amen. Amen, yes, like you mean it. I'm not trying to do cheerleading here. I'm taking this right from the Word of God. Expository, extracting exegesis of the truths of God. God can't overlook sin. God can't be silenced. God can't be overruled. God can't die. And I love this one. God can't lie. Chapter 2, for sake of time, let's just jump ahead. Chapter 2, God can't lie. Look with me in verse number 16 to 17. Let's just do that. For verily he took not on him the nature of the angels, but he took on him the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren, that he might be a merciful and a faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make reconciliations for the sins of the people. God said, I'm not going to lie to you about this. Look in chapter 2. Look down here in verse number 2. Chapter 2. God said, I'm not going to lie to you about this. If you ever want to see me again, salvation is a must through the high priest. For if the word spoken by the angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape? Look at this in verse number 3. How are we going to escape this if we ignore, if we neglect so great a salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? Think about this. Of all the people in the world you know, it's very likely you know some people that are not always truthful. What I hear more and more and more from young teenagers and the millennial crowd, and I'm saying this respectfully, they want to love God. They just don't want a religious God. They don't want a fake God. They want a real God. If we stand behind a lectern and we sing a song, it should mean something. If we stand behind a lectern or sit at a table and teach the Holy Word of God in Sunday school, it should mean something. If a man stands up here behind the holy desk of God, just give me the truth. I don't care about your opinion. Give me the truth. That's what young people are saying. I think they got it more than what my generation did. You know what my generation did, especially when I was in youth ministry? This sounds so rude. I had parents tell me this and a pastor as well. Don't let the girls get pregnant and don't let the guys get high. What a youth ministry. How pitiful. How watered down was the gospel of Jesus Christ? If you love God, you don't have to worry about those things. If God is real to you, you believe in God, you don't have to worry about those things. Our God doesn't lie. He doesn't die. And by the way, you know this one over here. Finish it for me. God said, I will never leave you nor what? Forsake you. Jump ahead. Hebrews chapter 13. Time is pressing. Hebrews chapter 13. Yes. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Don't you find comfort in that? Wow. He said, let your way of life, I'm in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5. They're still in the same book. These people were falling away from their faith. They weren't focusing on Jesus. They were focusing on their problems. And God said, you can call me anytime you want to, day or night. I don't lie. I don't die. And by the way, I'm never going to leave you. Look at this in verse number 5, Hebrews 13, 5. If you got it, say amen. Yes. He said, let your manners, let your way of life, let your conversation be without covetousness and be content with such things that you have. For he, God, has said, I will never, what? Leave you nor forsake you. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know what you're going through right now, but I'm telling you, a loving God, the high priest, can go to the Holy of Holies, Jesus Christ, the mediator. Through the Paraclete, the Holy Spirit of God can hand deliver our prayer request to God. Do you have a major prayer request today? We've already discovered here in the Holy Word of God, in the book of Hebrews alone, that God said, I have time for you. What's your number one prayer request? What about the private things you're not talking to anybody about? What about that lost family member or friend? What about that unconfessed sin? I'm just asking you, take inventory in your own life. 2020, friends, I'm already experiencing perhaps the greatest spiritual renewal in my last 20 years. I'm spending more time with God and less time with the news. I'm spending more time with Christian brethren praying than when others trying to pontificating all the world's problems. I love when the Holy of Holies talks about Jesus Christ who goes through God, goes to God for us. You look at the high priest. In the Old Testament, the high priest, he went through the outer court of the tabernacle. We learned about this morning in Sunday school. The outer court of the tabernacle. Then he went through the curtain. Now he went into the inner courtroom of the tabernacle. And then he would go back. One time a year, the high priest would go into the presence of God there in the Holy of Holies. That's what it says, I believe, in Hebrews chapter 4. Let's look there real quickly. I want to show you the Word of God. This is not my opinion. Look at me in Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14. There it is. Thank you, God, for giving it to me. Hebrews 4, verse 14. I want you to see this. I want you to focus. That's what our theme is this year. Focus on Jesus, and your problems will fade away. Seeing then we have a great high priest that has passed into heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. So let us hold fast our profession of faith. Friends, I know I've taught you here. When Paul looked into the third heaven, he saw into the presence of God. There are three definitions of heaven found in the Holy Word of God. You have the atmospheric heaven, which envelops planet Earth as we know it. Then you have the planetary heaven, the cosmos, the stars, that whole universe right there. When you go beyond that, we don't know how far it is, but there's the presence, the abode of God. Look at this, Hebrews 4. He passed through the heavens. He's now, we've already discovered here earlier, he's sitting down next to God the Father. That should thrill us. They know Jesus sitting next to God the Father, and the Holy Spirit is residing within believers. He never slumbers nor sleeps. He never says, I'm too busy, pick up the phone. He says, I'm never going to leave you nor forsake you. I'm never going to lie to you. You don't want to worry about me dying anymore? Of course not. You ever notice Jesus never preached funerals? You ever notice that? Woo! Lazarus, young girl, young maiden, young man, arise. Maybe you need to be spiritually awakened this year. Well, allow this to climax here before our eyes. Look, and the fourth thing we learned was what? God can't die. What's the fifth thing? God can't lie. What's the sixth thing? God can't leave us or forsake us. And the seventh thing down here, God can't change. I love this. I don't want a God who's a moving target. I need some stability in my life. Now, do I enjoy variety? I sure do. Me personally, don't anybody throw a hymnal at me. I enjoy the four seasons. I embrace the cold weather. Now, a lot of people say, man, I can't stand it. I want it 82 degrees with no humidity and perfect weather. It never rains and life is perfect. You know what you just described? Heaven. Heaven. One day God said, I'll be there, I'll illuminate. Jesus, the Son of God, with the S-U-N as well as the S-O-N. He's the light of the world, John chapter 8, verse number 12. He said, I'll illuminate the new heaven and the new earth. But right now, embrace it. Don't try to run from it. Embrace winter, spring, summer, and fall. I love the variety. Don't anybody point. But do you ever go out to dinner with someone, they order the same exact meal every single time? Huh? Every single time? And I'm bad about saying, you know, you got a whole menu. Yeah. You got a whole menu there. Oh, no, I already know what I want. And they sit down and the waitress says, oh, I know you. You want the same thing down to the drink? And I thought, wow, I bet their relationship with God's the same way. Here you go, God, you're this big, but I'm going to, that's how big you're going to be. I'm going to box you in. Now I just made some people mad. I'll get some hate mail over that. Our God said, I never change, but I want you to enjoy all of me, not just a little bit of me, all of me. Not just when you're in trouble, when you need to be rescued. Oh, God, help me. Bless this mess I've created. You know, that's why most of us pray. The filthy five and the dirty dozen. God, I've done it again. Bless me. Get me out of this. Now, may the 49ers win the Super Bowl. Or maybe, what? No. God said, I'm not going to change. What doesn't he change? Write a few things down here and we'll finish. God said, I'm not going to change my plan of salvation. Write that down. Salvation. I love it that God said, I'm never going to change. Salvation, you must go through Jesus Christ. If you or the radio and listening audience today have never trusted Christ as Savior, you're not going to heaven. Well, that's a very cruel thing to say, and it's a very honest thing. Remember, we've already discovered the truth will set you free. The truth is, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father except through me. Let's just get the truth. Salvation is non-negotiable. I thank God it's not a moving target. The second thing down here is Word. Write that down, the Bible. His Bible is the first, foremost, and final authority. Psalm 118 says, forever, O Lord, forever your word is settled. I'm just thrilled that God doesn't change his Bible. And when someone comes out and says, oh, by the way, did you hear? God wrote another chapter for the Bible. I'm saying, no. The last page says, don't change it. Don't take from it. Don't change it. It's perfect. It's plenary, just as it was dictated by God himself. God said, I'm not going to change my plan of salvation. I'm not going to change my holy word. And I'm not going to change my love for you. Write that down, please. His love. Jeremiah 31, verse number 3, Hebrews 6, all these other things. God says, I'm never going to change my love for you. Well, Pastor, what if I do confess my sins to Christ and I'm still riddled with guilt? You know, friends, let me give you one positive thing God can do. When he forgives us, he forgets. Let me say it again. When God forgives us for our sins, he forgets. He buries them to the depths of the sea. He puts a sign up there, don't go fishing there for those sins again. I still feel bad about what I did 10 years ago. God, remember what I prayed about yesterday? And God says, nope. Aren't you glad God doesn't hold grudges? Aren't you glad we serve a merciful God? Aren't you glad? Look down here and your notes will close. That God doesn't overlook sin. Thank you, God, for that. The world has changed all around us. What once was called sin today is called an addiction or a life choice. Thank God I'm in a church that still wants to use his holy word that doesn't change. In a spirit of love and truth, God can't be silenced. God can't be overruled. God can't die. God can't lie. God can't leave us nor forsake us. God can't change. Yes. I want you to notice with me the closing phrase down here in your bulletin, please. Down at the bottom of the sermon notes section, I want you to read along with me. God also can't be stopped, surprised, or surpassed. Why? Because he is God. Say that with me. Because he is God. God can't be bought. He can't be taught. He can't be fooled. He can't be tricked. He can't be put on a timetable. Why? Because he is God. Say it with me. Because he is God. And lastly, God can't be praised enough. Why? You know the answer. Because he is God. Let's do something we haven't done at the close of the sermon. Let's give God praise in his house today, shall we? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. You're a constant, loving God. You don't change. Your word doesn't change. Your love for me doesn't change. Your plan of salvation doesn't change. Your avenue of forgiveness, your offer of forgiveness. Friends, we're going to praise God right now in an old song. Praise him. We're going to sing this together like we mean it. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, won't you come forward? And then you can understand what we're singing here today. Praise him. Praise him as your heavenly Father. The older I get, the more I love God. You do with it whatever you want to. If we bow in prayer right now, I'm going to invite you to pray for someone you know that needs the praise of God. Merciful, eternal God. We are praising you for what we've experienced here today. Not only in this corporate setting, but perhaps in the privacy of our homes, in those private prayers. You know our hearts, you know our lives, you know our needs. Make us to be vessels of honor this year, holy, being not conformed to this world, but being holy, separated from this world. We want to be the hands and the feet of Jesus. Oh God, I close by thanking you for salvation through Jesus Christ, the high priest, wow, who pardons all of sin. But we know many people in our families, in our circles of friends and neighbors and co-workers that are not believers in Christ Jesus. They don't understand the joy of forgiveness. They don't understand the joy of this praise. They don't understand why we've come here today in this house of hope, in this refuge for the rejected. They don't understand why we're here. God, we don't judge them. We plead for them. We pray for them. Someone prayed for me, a little boy. He didn't grow up in a Christian home. But thank you, God. Someone took time to invite me to church. Someone took time to tell me about your love that never changes and show me your holy word that's forever settled. So is my salvation. We praise you and thank you for this delightful day. May we enjoy it to its fullest capacity as we focus on King Jesus this year as never before. Him exalted, us equipped, and sinners evangelized. That's our theme. That's our purpose. We do this in accordance with your word and under your blessing. In the name of Christ, and all of God's children said, amen.